Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again? With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. Hour three, final hour of In This League. It is Scott Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I am the Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh or Chris. These people feel weird and they do the whole like, duh.
Somebody tagged you in a post as It Is The Welsh.
It Is The Welsh?
And nothing happened.
Because that was the wrong one.
I know.
What happened?
Nothing. Nothing happened. I don't remember. I just remember scrolling through and seeing it. And it was clearly a question for you that I was tagged in. It was like, would you trade these six prospects for these six prospects? And it was tagged right to me and wrong to you. And I'm like, well, good luck.
It's that one guy. So, I don't even get my answers, my questions answered. Like, it's the Welsh. Is it the Welsh?
It is the Welsh.
It's a question mark. Get it right.
I tell you what, we were talking on the break about pain like stuff images? And. No, I was not going to do the image. It's just not going to happen, dude. I don't want to see it. But I can tell you this. I would rather have the ruptured testicle than have a kidney stone again.
I mean,
I can say that without provocation.
You should just never drink soda again. If
there
you
is
don't
not
want
a
to
question in
that.
My mind. You know that I didn't drink soda for a year and a half after that.
I remember. And then you drink it like a fish now. Like, you're going to get it again if you don't stop.
Probably. I just assume both kidneys.
You've already opened up the gates for the kidney stone. Like, because I was asking on the break, I was saying, like, you know, like, I can't, it's hard to imagine that feeling, you know, like, people, it's like a serious thing, but like, you know, people will have like so much pain, they're just like, I want to die, like that type of thing.
Right.
The closest I've ever had was I lived through this gallbladder issue that no one could diagnose, and it was like a year and a half. It was a horrific year to year and a half. Where, like, I just couldn't eat, and I lost all this weight, which was nice, but I couldn't eat, because if I ate any time close to the sun going down, then I would be in this pain. It was like this rock in my stomach. I'd be up all night. It would happen, like, once or twice a week.
Did they think you were a vampire for a while?
Dude, it was horrific.
I don't understand what the sun going down when you eat.
It was just nighttime, but it was like nighttime. Yeah, I wasn't a mogwai or something like that. It was just like, it was something about... like nighttime and eating, and it was just horrific. And I had this feeling towards the end of it where I was like, I can't do this much longer. Like, I can't. Right. I'd been to the hospital like three times. Every time they're like, I don't know. It was like, maybe it's GERD, and it's like just like a stomach.
Yeah,
thing.
It's
like
not.
A tummy issue. And you know what happened? My gallbladder stopped working. It literally stopped functioning, and it got so bad that I had dealt with it for like 14 hours, and I was like, I gotta go to the hospital. And then they did the dye test, and the dye didn't come out of the gallbladder. And they're like, yeah, it's done. It stopped working. And they're like, I would have died if I would have waited another day. And then they took it out, and he was like, it was bad, infected and bad and all that stuff. So that was like the closest I've ever got. I have to imagine the instant pain feeling of rupturing your testicle is just like, end it now.
Yeah. You know, the instant, stuff has got to be terrible, because it's like you're going from
You're looking at it on the floor.
Right. You're going from okay to in horrific pain in 2 seconds.
And you're like, seeing it.
Right. Like you dealt with that for a while. The kidney stone thing crept up on me slowly over like a week, you know. So that it's just different, I guess you would say. But yeah, I'd rather fracture both testicles than have another kidney stone.
That's unbelievable. I mean, well, what a plug for.
I just can't imagine. Better. Like, it's nothing. I've broken my arm. I've done the bit where you stub your toe, right? I've had, you know, I haven't had two other terrible pains. I've had a couple things where I should have got stitches and didn't. So instead, they're just scars now.
Yeah, same. So, I had a couple of those.
But
never had stitches in my life. I had probably about five different places I should have got them.
Right. Nothing has come remotely close. Like, I would rather stub my toe. You know that where you stub your toe and it hurts so bad and you get so mad at yourself for doing it?
I'd rather do that. I fractured my toe with turf toe.
I've done that.
Like that.
Yep.
But it was turf toe and it should have had surgery and I didn't do it.
I've only done it on my little toe. So I've broken my little toe like probably six or seven times.
Yeah.
But I've had, you know, where your toe just turns purple, you know, that type of thing. None of it compares to a kidney stone.
You know,
it's all like, I would rather do that every day for the rest of my life than have one more kidney stone.
I forgot. Well, I mean, I swear to God, you got to stop drinking soda.
Yeah, I know.
You have to. I do remember, I do have, real quick, we'll do this and then let's stop talking about these horrific things. There's, because I was trying to think of like, how do you react to like instant fear? Because it's not just pain. It's your balls on the ground. That's what Mitch Haniger was
doing. I don't think it unravels
it
like that.
It comes out.
Yeah.
So I had one thing. It had nothing to do with my balls though. That I remember was that type of instant fear. It actually didn't hurt a bunch. I was like 10 years old, 11 maybe. I was in a wood carving class. So you know where this is going to go. And
we're good. This is why they don't have wood carving classes.
It's like, yeah. It was like just, you know, blocks of wood and you've got the carver thing. And they go through all the safety things. And within a minute, my hand slips. I slice my ring finger, like where your wedding finger would go, completely open to the bone. And it was just in shock. And I mean, it's the worst human beings I dealt with, too. No, nobody walked me to the, like, literally, they're just like, oh, you go to the nurse. And it's like a summer school class. No one walked with me at all. What horrible people. Now that I think about
it. Go to the nurse.
I couldn't find the nurse. And I walk in there and I'm just everywhere. And it was like, that has to be the instant fear, except it's your finger and it wasn't your testicles.
Yeah. 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 There's got to be some shock in there.
Baseball is just as a knack for weird and just like gruesome sounding. They may not look as bad as like football with the leg breaks and even basketball and stuff, but they're always gruesome sounding in the words that they have, which is just an oddity. But we are talking about
anything
baseball.
That starts with testicular.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not good. No,
and it's just like, they should not even put it. They should just put like groin issue and just leave it at that and not do that. But let's talk about some baseball that doesn't have to do with balls. And just the baseballs. The big signings finally happened post-MLB draft. We had Craig Kimbrell. I believe it happened right as we were doing the ITL and the Fantasy Black Book earlier in the week. Craig Kimbrell to the Cubs. Then the second chip falls, Dallas Keuchel to the Atlanta Braves. Which, Boggs, I'm so fascinated by this one just because, like, the Braves have the biggest glut of starting pitching prospects. Some that are up, I mean, Mike Soroka is having an insane year, but Kyle Wright, Luis Gohara, Tuki Toussaint, and Joey Wentz, Colby Allard, they have so much. The idea that they brought in a guy for the half of the year, it tells one story. It could say, hey, these guys aren't ready, we're looking for them soon. Or it just like shows the glut that they have that they can go out and spend, that they should use those assets to reacquire stuff. But what do you think about Dallas Keuchel in Atlanta?
Well, yeah, I'm with you in that we didn't expect this at all. It seemed like they needed relief pitching way more than they needed starting pitching.
Kimbrell was a Brave
yeah,
for sure.
That's exactly what we thought, and we had kind of put him on there already. So I don't know, like, whose spot is he taking here? Is it Tehran's?
No, they said Tehran is not the one that's going to take the hit.
Is it Soroka? Soroka's been so good. I can't imagine. It's Fried, Gossman, Faulty, Soroka, and Julio Tehran right now.
Something they could experiment with, because I'm just pulling them up here, is maybe the idea of a six-man rotation. Because you got a guy like Soroka who they may not want to give massive innings to. So, like, let's see. I need to physically look at it like you're talking
right,
about.
Yeah.
I mean, Soroka could take the hit because of innings and they could put him in the bullpen. Oh. They could. Here's another thing they could do. They could end up taking a Soroka Freed every other type of thing to limit their innings. I know Gossman has struggled and Tehran probably is actually the lowest guy in the totem pole. So I don't know. And I don't think they haven't even talked about who the guy on the outs is, have they?
No. So not that I've seen so far. So it's just, it made sense because of where they are and adding a veteran and all that stuff. But it also didn't make sense because, like you said, there's just a glut of starting pitching. Now,
I do have one piece of info, though.
We don't think it's going to affect Keuchel himself, but it'll affect, you know, someone else.
Well, right here, this is on Roto World. They posted this pretty late, it actually looks like, on Friday, because it said that Dallas Keuchel has passed his physical. The deal was announced on Friday, $13 million. And the word on this in multiple things, David O'Brien of The Athletic suspects, and then it's also confirmed on another Roto-World report that Kevin Gausman is the person that would be pushed from the rotation into a bullpen role.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. So just Soroka's been so good. And you know, someone is going to get hurt. I mean, this happens
and who hasn't
almost every single
rotation.
Year. Right, exactly. Faulty's already been on the disabled list. So, you know, it's just, this is nice insurance for them. It's
not even insurance. What you're saying is 100% correct, but it gives them a punch. You actually look at this rotation, and you still don't see, like I always think in, like, playoff terms, if I were like, all right, what's the three-man rotation look like? And the three-man rotation right now would be probably, like, Faulty, Soroka, and Dallas Keuchel. That's okay, but they could still use really almost taking a couple of those young pitchers to get another veteran in there. So what they did was they solidified the rotation to have a little bit more consistency. And like you're saying, they have more options because they are so depth rich. They can play around with all these guys like the Tukeys and the Sorokas and the Kyle Wrights and stuff like that. But surprisingly, this is still a team that I look at them, I'm just like, they ain't done. Like, this team is not done if they want to compete, I think, you know, for a pennant.
Right. And I'm right there with
closer.
You. Yeah, Luke Jackson. I mean, so they can take whoever. They can take Tukey and trade for a closer if they want, or your reliever, however you want to say it. But I think that this is a nice addition for them. Where would you slot Keuchel as far as the rest of the season value goes? Is he like a number three starter, number four starter? What do you think?
Like in fantasy?
Yeah, in fantasy.
Yeah, I want to say there's like a three spot in there. He might have the upside of two because, I mean, go put him in the NL. There's a plus. The negative is he hasn't pitched for 8 months outside of, you know, the Scott Boris camp for pitching and whatever the hell that's supposed to be. So there's a plus and a minus. I think there's a lot of run support, and I think defensively they're pretty damn strong. I mean, you know, Ender Inciarte, depending what happens when he comes back, and Austin Riley in there. You've got Donaldson, Ozzie Albies, Freddie Freeman. I mean, I look top to bottom. Dansby Swanson's having a hell of a year. Defensively and offensively, they're really stocked. It's the rotation is a question, and the bull. I mean, Sean Newcomb is their setup man.
I was concerned with Keuchel a little bit coming into the season because the Astros had like the fewest amount of errors last season. And obviously Keuchel is a ground ball pitcher. So having a good defense behind him is huge for him. And luckily he walks into that, you know, having Dansby and having Freeman and, you know, Donaldson and Albies are no slouches either. So it's really good for him that he walks into this situation. And even if you're looking at the outfield, when Inciarte comes back, he's a gold glover. You know,
yeah, there, so. You know, Bugs, and there's so many people. I felt like the narrative, and we've talked to a bunch of really smart people over on the ITL Baseball podcast recently, and we've kind of brought up Keuchel multiple times. There just still seems to be such a negative, like, Dallas Keuchel. Everyone's excited for the most part about Kimbrel. Yeah, it's just they're like, he's all right. He's kind of underwhelming. And it's like, I don't know, man. Infuse this guy who, yeah, I know he hasn't pitched for a long time, and you can see the negatives in that, but you infuse this guy for a half a season in a contract situation. It's all or nothing with Atlanta in the NL, good offense behind him. I don't know, man. I think there's some serious positives in there that I think Dallas Keuchel could be way more than people are letting out.
Over the last five seasons, his ERA has been under three times. Last year it was 3.74. And in 2016, obviously he had the 4.55. So this guy is in his FIP has been right around the mid threes this whole time. XFIP, same deal. you know, between 3.8 to 2.75. So, you know what you're getting. You're getting low strikeout numbers, hopefully some wins on a good team, especially with a good defense. And, I think he's a three. I think he's a third starter for you who's going to give you some ERA and some whip help. And he's not going to get you the strikeouts you want, though. So, but if he's available right now, we had someone Welsh pick up Keuchel and Kimbrel in a league. That is a 10-man league, but still, what the hell? Are those guys still doing out there?
Why was he? I mean, I get like they might have been out there for a little bit in a 10-man, but what were they doing leading up to the signing?
Right.
That's crazy, exactly. To me. I don't know. When we come back, let's talk about Kimbrel a little bit. Any more on Keuchel we can hit to. Any other little fantasy baseball remnants we'll hit. And then the final segment, I do want to talk about that basketball game.
Yeah, let's talk about that basketball game. Think we should. I'm excited.
Also, I am excited. You know, have they announced any type of a date? I know that there was just a physical happen, but like, you know how Kimbrel was like maybe before the 20th. Have we seen anything like that with Dallas Keuchel?
No, I haven't got a date yet for Keuchel. So
I feel like, set in stone.
He's been pitching in the Scott Boris thing for pitchers. So
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. They're going to option gentlemen. Him, and then he's probably going to go work in their camp, maybe their GCL camp. I saw the same thing with Kimbrel that, kind of like I said before, that he's going to come out here to Arizona actually here pretty shortly to throw a little bit, and then he might do a couple minor league games and be out there. So I would still say that I think Dallas Keuchel is on the, you know, most likely June 20th, maybe within that week of returning and pitching in games. Because
unless he ruptures his testicle.
Unless he ruptures his ball sack, which would be horrific. God. Horrific. You think the beard is the... Oh, I won't do that. All right, we'll be back. Let's talk about Craig Kimbrel and other things that don't have to do with ruptured testicles right here on In This League. Don't go anywhere.
Look at the picture.
No.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and smoking.
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back. In This League. Find us at In This League Pod. That is the main handle Twitter. InThisLeague.com and Patreon.com/ITL Army. The extended universe. It's like having the director's cut and the DVD with all the extended fun stuff. You know what I love? I got in a loop. It's so much so, and how important these things are, that I think, Bogman, I think I'm going to go and finally commit to watching an entire season of The Office, or the whole series, because Facebook did the bit where it was like 15 minutes of outtakes from The Office. And then there was another one where it was like the greatest pranks put on Dwight. And I couldn't handle it. It was so funny. It was so funny. I forget how funny these people are that I think I'm going to go and rewatch that or actually watch that entire series. Well, so the director's cut's important, getting behind the scenes.
The best part about The Office is that no matter where you've worked, you can relate to The Office because there's a Dwight in everybody's office. There's an Angela in everybody's office. So there's just like these characters, and almost everyone's boss thinks he's funnier than he actually is, just like Michael. So it's just everyone can relate to stuff like this, and that's why that stuff is so funny. And Steve Carell is hilarious, obviously. So it's a great show, but you won't do it because you don't like watching things that are funny. at all.
I do. I just finished watching Afterlife with Ricky Gervais about his wife dying.
Oh, yeah. That was so hilarious where he was depressed and wanted to kill himself every episode. It's so funny. Just what a knee slapper.
Knee slapper.
Every single episode was on that. I love Ricky Gervais. So who invented The Office, by the way.
I know.
But that is not, while there's funny parts of it, like when he tells a little fat kid that he's an escape psycho and threatens him with a hammer. So funny.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't sound funny when I'm saying it.
No, when you say it, it sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
You say it out loud, it's pretty bad.
But there's this little brat kid picking on his nephew, and he goes and, you know, tells the kid that he's a psychopath to scare him so he won't pick on his nephew anymore.
To your point, though, we have a listener, our boy Dan Fu, who had said, I need to watch the show called Corporate on Comedy Central. And I finally did. He actually tweeted me, DM'd me and was like, hey, did you watch any of it? And I watched two episodes of it and it's great. And he's like, oh, man, I'm so happy you did. He's like, because you and Bogman totally remind me of the like main two characters. And I was like, I kind of see it. Like, no, you'll dig it. But it's a really funny. It's like Workaholics meets, I don't know, Office Space meets, you know, The Office type of thing. So I'm kind of in that. So I'm kind of trying to watch comedies. But, you know, you're not wrong. Like,
is this going to be like when my buddy called me Squirrely Dan? And Squirrely Dan is the biggest, fattest mess on the show?
Both of them are way skinnier than we are.
Oh, okay. I like
way
that.
Way skinnier. One looks like super skinny Joey Gallo. And the other guy, I'm assuming he thinks I'm that guy because that guy's darker. The other guy is super kind of like sarcastic. And I'm assuming that's you.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the rub. So I'll try to watch The Office. So all of that was to say that, you know, getting behind the scenes, getting the director's cuts, having fun. That's what we're all about. And people can
have you watched any of Letterkenny?
Not one second.
How much more of the, have you gone back to Trailer Park Boys?
No, you know what? I haven't because I told you.
How many episodes of Parks and Rec have you watched?
I watched like four or five offhand. Of Park and Rec. Trailer Park Boys, I like, but it wasn't that funny in the first season.
You have to keep following it, man. Yeah. It's like it's season
one. I have
one,
a hard time in season two. Season two, it's rough on me.
You get season one, you get used to the characters. Season two, they like the stuff really starts coming out.
The shopping cart thing, I was dying. The shopping cart thing, which I think was in season one, or if it was in season two, it was killing
me. That's a good cart right there.
It was absolutely killing me, but like a lot of it has kind of missed. Outside of I have enjoyed the random celebrities, like Ellen Page appeared.
Have you gotten the one where J-Rock gets caught yet?
I don't know.
If it happened to me, it can happen to you. When Bubbles are rapping?
It's been months since I picked it back up. So I got to get back to it.
One of my favorite episodes. Right, so
well, I'll get back into it. People get back into our Patreon and they can watch Bogman Eats Kale and all the other future fun stuff.
Welsh watches Trailer Park Boys. I don't know how that's a fair trade off. You watch a TV show and I eat horrible chips.
Well, I'm not reporting back to anybody. I'm just doing it on my own time.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not reporting back about Trailer Park Boys or anything. So, All right. So Dallas Keuchel signs with the Atlanta Braves. I think you and I have more excitement than probably the consensus of the industry. Yay on that? Yay or nay?
Yes, I think so.
We're both in a little bit more than anybody else. God bless you if you were able to pick him up. That's about where that leads. The Cubs and Craig Kimbrell, they got to their offering. And I saw this was Kimbrell's interesting because he got the multi-year deal, which I actually didn't expect. I thought it was going to be both one-year deals. He says process was tough, but he's glad he's with the Cubs. I mean, obviously, he says, am I surprised? Kimbrell asks rhetorically about the process. He says, no. Am I disappointed where I'm at right now? No, not at all. I'm glad I've made it through the process, which was tough. And hopefully we can get this worked out between players and owners moving forward. And that's a different conversation,
man, if he would have said, trust the process, he would have got sued.
Oh, Embiid, you think Embiid would have come after him?
That's right.
You think so?
Come after.
So, I mean, he gets on to a world championship type team. He's going to be the closer moving forward for multiple years. It's a great move. It's a great fantasy move. And we're all in. Now, I saw somebody, we briefly talked about this. I saw someone like really trying to hone down a statement. Oh, you know who it was? You know who it was? It was Chris Paddock's dad. Chris Paddock's dad is like a big Twitterer. And he goes... I mean, obviously, you know, because he's got firsthand knowledge of the situation and maybe bias, but he goes, Kirby Yates over Craig Kimbrell, don't at me. And I was like, well, for fantasy, that's not bold. But I did say on the baseball podcast that I would not be surprised, and I think some people feel this way, even though I don't think it's a bold statement, I wouldn't be surprised if Kimbrell's the most valuable closer July 1st on.
I mean, I could definitely see that happening. I don't think that I would pick it to happen, though.
Yates or Kimbrell?
Yates.
For sure.
Yeah.
What kind of odds would you give me on that?
I give you 2-1.
Give me 3-1.
Like, I give you 2-1, like, 2 bags of kale chips to 1.
I mean, I have no problem with the kale chips. Give me 3-1.
For what?
For, well, there's July 1st. We'll start. Stats on. Kimbrell
versus
Yates.
Okay, I understand the bet, but what are we betting?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, money? You better figure that out. I like money.
I like money.
By the way, you know what else I like? I like Mitch Haniger's favorite show, Ow My Balls.
Ow My Balls. Sir, he even interrupted me while I was watching Ow My Balls.
Oh, well, that is not okay.
That is not okay. I tried, but I tell you, I think I said this. I tried to get my wife
into
it.
See, you like funny things.
I love Idiocracy. I want to watch every day of my life. And you never get this where you're so excited and you're so excited to share it. And I was like, oh my God, honey, you're going to find this so funny.
Oh, no.
And I found a couple
women
clips.
Don't find that
dude,
funny.
I found 2 clips. One was the, what's up, bro? So your chart says it was that scene.
You're effed up, right.
And then it was the scene, that scene out of the court. I played those for my wife. I was belly laughing. When it was done, I looked over at her. She was so disappointed she was with me at that moment. And she just didn't know what to do because there was a no-win situation. She didn't even try to let me down lightly. She was like, it just looked horrible. And I'm like, you literally have no sense of humor whatsoever.
It's so weird how there are some things like The Office that can hit both the sexes the same as far as funny goes. But then there are things like Idiocracy. I don't think I've ever met a woman that likes Idiocracy. Like they all hate it.
You think that's what it is? Women don't like it?
Not only do they not like it, they hate it. I've never met a woman that likes that movie. They all hate that movie.
We should do a bit like a Bogman on the street. Just walk around, play a clip. Like,
hey, lady, you like this movie?
And there'll be like a news story, be like, local chauvinist walks around proving women don't like comedy.
Well, I'm sure there's, you know, there's the exception to the rule. I'm just saying I haven't found it.
The percentage is probably, if we were to go out and poll, it would be like 20% would approve of it. And everyone else would be like, looks kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah. And my favorite thing about that movie is Mike Judge talking about making it.
Well, yes.
And how, you know, he started writing it. He put it away for a while. He was at Disney World taking his kids, and 2 fat women got in a fist fight over who's in front of each other in line at the teacups at Disney World. And he just said, I got to start writing that again. Yeah. Like that is, I feel like that's the best part of the movie is how he came to, you know, start doing it, but, you know, not even in the movie.
No, so. This is a complete off the rails type. I mean, we're already off the rails. We were talking about Kimbrell. We went to Idiocracy. I'm watching this replay of Federer and Nadal, this tennis match. And like Federer, he loses and he gets super pissed. And they show this shot. He takes a ball and he just like hits it out of the stadium. But how they're shooting it, you see the crowd. And he takes the ball, he hits it, and there's this one guy next to his wife who just curls into a ball out of fear. You have to go watch the clip. Everybody is stoned.
He's just such a coward.
Everyone is stone cold. They're just sitting there. No one moves. His wife doesn't react. This guy goes, oh! He just curls in a ball. He throws his hat out of fear, and then you can tell after he's like, damn it! Like, he's like pissed that he did it. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I wish they would replay it 12 more. Can you type it in? I bet you go Federer fan.
Okay. So
let's see if that works.
I'm going to the Twitters, right?
Always on the Twitters. I'm not seeing it.
Federer
fan reaction. It is so, so good, and I just want you to see it. But
how about Federer mad?
Yeah, you can type that because I don't see it. So, and then we need to get back to talking about the things.
Let's see. I'm just seeing GIFs. So,
all right. Well, on the break, I'm going to try to find it. It's such a good damn clip. It makes me so happy. All right. So, Kimbrel, Chicago. Or do we have a bet?
What is the bet?
3-1
3-1 for what?
Money.
For money. 3-1 for money that he does what?
That he's better.
This is Idiocracy right now, what I'm dealing with.
Our electrolytes. $10.
Carl's
I pay
Jr.
you 10.
F you.
You pay me 30.
I'm eating.
Yeah. You pay me 30.
For what?
For who's better? Starting July 1st.
Who's better starting July 1st?
Yeah. So, saves, ER. We have to have three categories. So saves, ERA, and strikeouts.
And whip.
Okay, that's four. Okay. But we might tie.
Well,
that's
if it's 2-2, then nobody pays anybody. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's fine.
Jesus. And I give you 2-1. I never said 3-1.
You said 3-1. You already agreed.
I did not say 3-1. I just didn't say that.
You did. You said 3-1 for what? No, you got to give me 3-1.
I'm not going to do it.
But you said he's so good.
I'm not.
You don't sound confident now.
You are such a liar.
You don't sound
you
confident.
You said he's
Kirby
so
Yates.
Good. You're just making stuff up.
You said he's the best
I'm
closer in baseball.
I'm not from Idiocracy. I'm not just going to accept things.
I don't know.
Your chart says this. Your chart says that you said 3-1. So,
let's talk about this real quick. So I want to talk about the basketball game. And maybe what have been. We've had a lot of Diamondbacks moments over the last year or so. You know. Pseudo in our little mini universe, famous for our Diamondbacks emergency podcast and a couple other things. We had Brad Ziegler on the Black Book, and we lamented about things and couldn't get him to budge too much. But this might have put us over the top. The Diamondbacks almost traded for Mike Leake for the
Mariners.
I just
don't understand.
And
he's
Mike
so
Leake
bad.
Is owed $16 million next year. I think four of which the Cardinals or something like that, three that owe. And then like $2 million the next year, which is $10 to $12 million. He's owed all the money, and he's horrible.
I just don't understand what they were thinking. I know that Luke Weaver's hurt, and this probably goes to the fact that Luke Weaver's not coming back this season. And they didn't do it. You know, Peralta got hurt, and the D-backs went on that horrible 5-game losing streak. Me and the guy from Carl's Jr. know all about it. So there was that. And that's why they ended up not doing this. This probably, like you mentioned before when we were talking off air, money probably played a big factor into not doing this deal. But I just like, this felt like the stupid cutesy, like, oh, look, he's a local guy because he went to ASU. Who cares? Who cares if he's a local guy if he sucks? I want no part of Mike Leake. Bring up Widener, even if he sucks. I don't care. Bring up someone from AA. Bring up whoever's pitching the best. Don't
have
go out
Alex
and trade
Avila
whatever.
Pitch.
Whatever. Don't go out and trade for Mike Leake. I don't know what they were thinking.
And the money, too. The money. If that team would have taken on that contract, I would have been done. Because we've also, like, they go spend
any
money.
You're already a Cubs fan. So.
Well, but they go spend any money, and it's like, well, it's a good thing you can spend, you know, whatever, how much you're going to have to pay, $9 million more dollars to have Mike Leake for the next couple of years, but you can't pay Paul Goldschmidt.
Right.
Good thing you didn't try to go sign Craig Kimbrel or Dallas Keuchel. Make sure you trade for Mike Leake. By the way, the most shocking
sign Keuchel.
The most shocking piece of the whole thing is someone signed Mike Leake to a contract which would have made him $16 million in a single season.
When was the last time Mike Leake was good?
ASU.
I feel like, didn't he have one really good season in the bigs?
No, he has moments. He had like a stretch this year. I remember someone was like, listen, look at Mike Leake. No, shut up. Mike Leake
is
horrible.
Do you know how old Mike Leake is?
I think he's like 28.
He's 31.
Is he really?
He's 31. His best year, he was 14-7 with the Reds. We had a 3.37 ERA. That was by far his best year.
That's pretty good year.
4.30 ERA this year with an xFIP of 4.72, 4.36 with the Mariners last year, 3.92 the year before that, 4.69. So three of the last 4 years, his ERA has been up over four. He hasn't won more than 10 games since 2015. I mean, not that wins are the greatest stat in the world. He's 5-6 this year. He's pitching okay, but his xFIP is not good. It's almost it's the worst it's been in his career.
He's a Bronson Arroyo.
It's ever been.
He's a Bronson Arroyo type contract. You have to trade him with other stuff to get anyone to take him. So if the Diamondbacks were really talking, somehow the trade fell apart.
Give a Shed Long also.
It's unbelievable to me when they said, like, oh, the Diamondbacks almost had a trade for Mike Leake, but it fell apart. And it's like, well, yeah, because what? They picked up the phone? That's the only way. Like, why was there a conversation? Baseball's unbelievable to me. All right. Final segment coming up here. We are going to talk about, yes, the game of games, the NBA Finals. Friday was a doozy. Monday might be it. And it's not going to be what anybody thought or expected, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends just in the...
In this league.
In the dark.
Welcome back. Final segment of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And boy, was Friday's NBA Finals game a game of games. The Golden State Warriors lose both games at home. The Toronto Raptors have a 3-1 lead going into Monday, a deciding game.
In Toronto.
Can you
This game, I'm telling you, first second quarter, it was a constant Warriors lead.
Dude.
It was a constant 8-point lead.
Bogman tells me. Warriors won. This game is over in the second. And I was like, is it really? Because I didn't catch the first quarter. And I'm like, are we sure about this? And it was like, oh, okay, Golden State's doing some stuff. We blinked.
They had an 11-point lead when I said that to you, and that was the biggest lead they would have.
You and I blinked, and the Raptors were up.
Yep.
It was unbelievable. I mean, and not happy. And there was some flaunting. Klay Thompson might have been... flaunting at Mitch Haniger. He's like, I have two balls, big balls doing the thing. But I want you to hear something real quick. This is classic Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard is asked after the game about what he thinks this might mean for Toronto. How do you think this is going to go? Kawhi Leonard.
He was a boring answer.
Okay, here we go.
If the Raptors win the NBA title, what do you think this will mean for Canada and the Toronto Raptors? You've already won with the San Antonio Spurs. You've seen the way it impacted that community. What do you think this will do for Canada?
I'm really not sure. I guess you really have to ask somebody on the street or one of our fans. I'm pretty sure it's a long time waiting. They're going to be excited.
I'm not sure. You'll have to ask somebody on the streets.
Well,
this is the most personless. It is unbelievable.
What is he supposed to say? It's going to cure everyone. Everyone in Canada is going to be cured of cancer if we win.
Well, they already have free healthcare, Bogman. So what he should have said is, I imagine it's going to mean a lot, just like it will to me.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Instead of, I'm a fun guy.
Look, I mean, he's a soft-spoken guy. You know, he leads by example. He doesn't like answering too many questions. His favorite thing in the world was when they were interviewing him after a win against Philly or whoever it was, and they said, oh, we got to go. And he's like, okay, see ya. Like, he was so happy to only have to answer, like, one question. from Ali LaForce or whoever it was at that point. So he was just so, I think it might have been Doris Burke. He was so happy. And he's just a soft-spoken guy.
Why is he a robot?
He likes to play basketball. He doesn't like to do all the media stuff. So that's why it would be surprising to me if he wound up with, you know, it's surprising to me. I know he's from L.A., but why do you want to go back to a major market?
I got to see what this is. Hold on. This is Sick Music doing a laughing remix. Not a 10.
That's creepy.
Here we go. Beat. Most exciting Kwai's ever been. This video is too much. That was Sick Kick Music, but only one K in between them. Sorry, this is killing me. Was that not the best thing ever?
I mean, I wasn't... Me and no one else was watching the video with you.
It doesn't matter. It
sounded funny. Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Kawhi Leonard, though, 36 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals. He shot 50%. He's a robot because all he does is go out there and win championships.
I guess. So. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, someone's going to get paid. It's paid. It's just, I still just don't understand. Like, it almost seems like it's becoming a bit. Like, I know he's always been weird and stuff like that, but it's almost feeling like, did you know who's the company? Is he New Balance or Adidas or who's
New Balance is his. So,
New Balance made a shirt that it literally says this fun guy. That's all it says in small type. The first time they did it, it sold out within hours. They replenished the other day. As soon as they made it live, it crashed their damn site, people trying to buy Fun Guy t-shirts. I think maybe he's pulling one over on us, and he gets the bit. He gets his shtick, and he's throwing that at us now. Maybe he just knows he needs to be a robot.
I think he's just weird, dude. He's just a weird, weird guy. Yeah, I really think he is.
The guy made such a heartfelt question. Hey, what do you think this is going to mean to Toronto? It's so special. It's everything. And he's like, I don't know.
Dude, he just ran miles up and down the court.
Joel Embiid is like
they're on the precipice of winning, you know.
I don't know. They're going to win the finals, by the way.
He's not an emotional guy. He's not going to answer emotionally. He's just going to be
no
like
emotion.
Yeah, I know. You call me a robot. I look like the Leave Britney Alone guy compared to this dude.
You should be hosting the Oscars with that personality compared to him.
So I don't know what you expect from him. He's going to have weird answers.
Anything human-like.
Well, I don't know why you would expect human from him. The funniest thing with Kawhi the entire season was when the NBA on TNT – at halftime of a Rockets game, there was a robot shooting 3-pointers. I think, and someone took Kawhi's face and stuck it on the robot, and then had it make the 3 and then do a laugh.
I mean, that's pretty funny.
And it was so funny.
I cannot believe the collapse we're seeing on the Golden State Warriors right now, though. Is it a collapse? Is that a right way to say it?
I don't know that it's a collapse. It's just, you know,
feels like one.
I didn't think that they were going to lose this series. I said Warriors in 5 because they swept Portland. They beat my Rockets again. And I feel like they had these injuries and they don't know what to do with themselves. I feel like this is, and I have been saying the entire season on our show, NBA Takeaways, this is the most beatable Warriors team I have seen since they started this run on their 5 trips to the finals. And they lost the finals in there to the Cavs. So it just shows that without Kevin Durant, by the way, everyone who has ever said that Kevin Durant has to have an asterisk next to his name, winning titles with Golden State, shut your mouth. There is no truth to that now. We know.
Yeah. Good point.
And, And he won the finals MVP 2 years in a row because he's the best player on that team. So regardless of where he went, he ends up next year, he's probably the best player in the NBA. So who's better than him?
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard's better than him?
Yeah.
How many, you know, Kawhi Leonard's
playing in the finals.
Kawhi Leonard also isn't, he's not in the MVP race this year. And now he's the best guy in the NBA. Would you rather, you're starting a franchise, you have Kawhi over GA?
Oh, no, I love GA. GA is okay. Better.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, I just threw out somebody. Like, I don't think Kevin Durant's the best player in the NBA.
Well, and Kawhi is at the point in his career, too, where he said that if they weren't doing, you know, his days off, the load management, as they called it, that he wouldn't be playing here. And that stuff didn't really happen with Kevin Durant. You know, he was banged up this year, too. But we see him break down. So
I will tell you,
there's points to be made there as well.
There is 0.0% chance Kevin Durant is a Warrior next year. He is.
I don't think there is either.
Gone. I've thought for so long here that Kevin Durant was going to come back, make a statement. It could leave out possibilities of this, that, and the other thing. Man, Durant's gone. He's not playing. I think this is over. I think that team is defeated. I could be wrong. He could come back and he could be a hero. They're done.
Now that you said he's not going to play in game five or game. Game five. He's definitely playing in game five.
I mean, he should have played in game four. He should have played in game four. This is the most important thing ever. He should have played game four. You're probably right. He plays in game five. They're done. I think he's done as a Warrior. If Kevin Durant doesn't play, Golden State fans will never forgive him. He's just going to go off into the sunset, into Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving.
How can you say that, though? Like, if he doesn't play, Golden State fans are never going to forgive him. No. He won two titles there.
They don't care. They don't care.
They don't care about the other two. Nope. You know, they've only won three. So, you know, only. They've only won three, and he was there for two of them.
Thanks
they're going to hate him?
Yes, they'll hate him.
What if he comes back and plays and they lose? Do they still hate him? They love him because he played the one game.
I think they'll hate him less. I think it takes off. If Kevin Durant doesn't play in the entire series and then goes, well, see you later. Like, I think Golden State fans are going to hold that against him.
He's hurt, though.
He's not that hurt.
Yes, he is, because if he wasn't that hurt, he would definitely be playing.
Or if he just wants to watch the world burn.
This is what I've said the whole time, dude, is I think he's too hurt to play. The Warriors don't have to say that he definitely won't play, so why would they? Why would they give anyone, you know, that, you know, coaching advantage or whatever it is, you know, that slight advantage that, oh, hey, maybe we can win now because Kevin Durant's out. Not that, you know, Toronto clearly didn't even need that because they're going to win anyway, it seems. Also, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Warriors come back and win this series, would you? How shocking would it be on a scale of 1 to 10?
See the Warriors? I mean, I think at this point, they've always wanted to turn that 3-1 lead thing around. This would be the opportunity.
This would be the chance.
I'd say it would still be like a 5 or 6, but it would be a like lower 5 or 6. Like any other team, it would be a 9 or 10. Golden State Warriors still coming back completely. I mean, because DeMarcus Cousins is an absolute shell of the person we expect DeMarcus Cousins to be.
Well, he's playing through. The dude tore his quad 3 weeks ago.
And Durant's hurt. So, like, I would say it's like a 5 or 6. When everyone else is a 9 or 10. So that I'm agreeing with but I'm still saying like, it would be shocking if it gets to game 7 based on how this series has gone. Toronto knows exactly what they're doing. They won this isn't like they won both of their home games and then they took one on the road. They took both road games and a home game. And now they are going back to Toronto. It's a bloodbath right now.
Yeah, you're right. Back,
but it's a bloodbath right now. Toronto, the momentum is there.
The one game that Golden State won was by 5 points. We had a 9-point victory for the Raptors, a 5-point victory for the Warriors, a 14-point win for the Raptors, and then a 15 or 13-point win for the Raptors. So, I mean, this is these are dominant wins. This is not close. So, and you know, I don't know that Kevin Durant is going to play at all. I've said that I don't think he plays in this series. I don't think they're pushed here. Look, if he doesn't play in game 5, he's just not playing, right?
No, He's done.
Yeah. So I don't think he plays.
By the way,
so.
Real quick, I found the Federer.
Can you put it in our,
I did.
In our thing?
Here? I just shared it with you. It is so funny. Keep watching it. I could watch this 5,000 times on a loop. And watch it how all the other people react and then the one guy. You watching it?
Hold on. It's coming up for me. It's just acting slow.
Come on.
Because whenever I click on something from Skype, it goes to my
Internet Explorer.
Yeah, it goes to my Internet Explorer instead of Chrome, and Explorer likes to run super slow here. Okay. God.
It's the funniest clip on the planet.
All right. Oh, my God.
You see that guy? Look at his wife next to him. She doesn't blink.
She might be dead.
She's stone cold.
By the way, other people are moving. She is not flinching.
No. But everyone else is like looking up, but this guy isn't quite looking. And dude,
this lady is weak into Bernie's. I think the two dudes between her are taking her around everywhere. Look, she doesn't move. She might be asleep. Everyone else moves. Now he loses it. Everyone else moves a little bit, but they're all turning their head to see where the ball goes. He is like, okay, so hold on. Let me one more time. So he turned around. Okay, this is what happened. He turned around
every time
at the exact time that he started hitting it. And Federer is kind of facing him a little bit. And it looks like, I think he thought that he was hitting it right at him. It's 100%.
I retweeted it. If anyone wants to go look at Isn't the Welsh, it is just, it's so, cause he's talking to his Weekend at Bernie's wife, who literally does not move in the entire, like he's looking at her talking. I mean, he's clearly has a front for bringing a dead body around with him.
I think what he's doing is he's talking to his friend across from her saying, what are we going to do with her when this is over?
You see those things like in baseball where there's a, you know, a pitch goes wild and everyone goes like, whoa, like this is that times 400 in a tennis match. And he's going up and no one else, like everyone else is just flinching. It's like the person that, it's like Paul Spohr when we go to the Fall Stars game.
Yes,
and a pitch comes for us.
When you mention it, that's the first thing I thought of was when the foul balls hit the screen, Paul always flinches.
I wish we could go so back. I wish we had those old ones recorded. We could pull that clip of Paul and he was so mad. He got better as the game went on, but he was so mad at himself for flinching like he
did. Because everybody sees him. Like, it's not hard to see.
Well, because we're in front of the camera.
Right, exactly. And it's not just us seeing him. Also, the whole world sees him, too.
So good. Just like this clip. I'm gonna save this clip.
And by the way, I'm going through the comments. I don't see anybody talking about this guy. They're all talking about someone else in tennis. Like, oh, if he did this, everybody would be losing their mind. There's a double standard. Who cares? Look at this wussy. Look at him flinch every single time. There he goes.
It's so good.
It's great.
You know, I've been looking for something like this where when I need a pick-me-up, when bees are infested in my house, when I'm taking animals to surgeries, when just, you know, people are being horrible, everything. When I need a little boost, I have this picture of this guy flinching like an atomic bomb is being dropped in his lap when Federer just hits a baseball.
Somebody says front row guy. There's a lot of people saying that he is not classy at all when everyone else calls him classy. And then there's someone that says the guy in the front row had his life flash before his eyes. And then all of it's if, you know, X, Y, or Z did this, everybody would be losing their mind. So
it's so, so good. All right, guys, that is the episode. Thank you guys for tuning in to 3 hours of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you miss any of it, go back and listen on demand everywhere podcasts are. And you can also catch all of our podcasts. Just search In This League and you will find a whole host of them. Patreon.com/ITL Army. You want to check out the Bogman Eats Kale video. You want to get our comedy secret shows. You want my prospect list, Bogman's football prospect list. There's a ton much more. We got the group me rooms, all that type of stuff. But we are out of here. Have a great weekend. Go Raptors. Go Diamondbacks. Have a good one. Bogman, Welsh, out. See you.
See you.